Artist Käthe Kollwitz from Germany was passionately concerned about, among other subjects in her work, women and children and their plight in the world. She had children of her own. A son, Peter, was killed in war, and Hans, who would go on to write a memoir-like piece about growing up as her son. In the diary and letters of Käthe Kollwitz, he describes the delightful birthday celebrations they would all have as a family. He speaks of the way his mother loved to walk in the natural world, not to sketch, but to refresh herself, and also about Käthe's abiding need for poetry. He writes, "She turned to poetry far more than she did to the plastic arts. She read a great deal, and never casually. She read to find and fasten upon the essence. She was interested in modern poetry also, and was far more receptive to it than to modern painting. But the poet she always felt as most thoroughly hers was Goethe. He meant something to her at every age and in every situation in life, from the tenderly youthful sorrow of early poems to verses from the Westöstlicher Divan, God is master of the East, God is master of the West, all the northern and southern lands rest in peace within his hands." She took these verses as inspiration for her gravestone relief, in which two great hands clasp a weary human head within themselves. And in Käthe's work, we can really feel the weight of that weary head. We too know the weight of the world. We too have been weary. And an essay by Wilson Yeats on Käthe Kollwitz and the question of death gets at the power of Käthe's images. Certainly her works, while including joyful pieces and probing testimonies to love, focused more on the darker side of human experience, on issues of human suffering and social injustice, the realities of war, poverty, and death. Her treatments of harsh realities press us to the boundaries of human existence. They force us into a world of moral ambiguity, a world of unleavened sadness. Yet, in our encounter with her works, we experience a profound paradox, for they have a way of leaving us more compassionate, more filled with hope, more understanding of what it means to live on this earth. And therein lies the paradoxical power of her art. Poet J.C. Todd wrestles in her own work with those profound questions and paradoxes of life. And as Käthe Kollwitz had continuing conversations with the great German poet Goethe, not in person, of course, but through his work, to, in her son's words, fasten upon the essence, so too does poet J.C. Todd engage Kollwitz and her work deeply. And the wrestling and the results open space for us to enter into the exchange and perhaps experience a sense of understanding and hope as we take our next steps in life. J.C. Todd is an award-winning poet. She received the 2016 Rita Dove Poetry Prize, and she holds fellowships from the Pew Foundation, the UCross, and Ragdale Foundations. As part of her visit to Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre this week, hosted by the English department there, she will read this afternoon from her poems, inspired by Käthe Kollwitz, at the Sordoni Art Gallery on campus, that features a series of etchings by Kollwitz titled Peasant War. J.C. Todd paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about Käthe Kollwitz and to read for us, and we began with her ties to Wilkes.
I do have a connection with Wilkes, but it's very recent. This summer, I met the curator there, Heather Sienkiewicz, and she was telling me there was an exhibit of prints by Käthe Kollwitz, who is a German artist whose work I love. So she was early 20th century up to almost the middle of the Second World War. And I said to her, oh my goodness, I've written poems about this series. And she said, oh my goodness, and then we planned this.
When did you first encounter these works by Colvitz?
I encountered them. The first work I remember seeing was in 2002. I was in Lithuania doing a poetry festival where my work was translated, and a friend said, oh, you have time. Go to Berlin and stay with my friends. And when I did that, the friend of the friend said, you have to see the Katie Colvitz Museum, and I did. There was a print that I saw that day. It was in the corner of the second room of the second floor that I could not get out of my mind. It was called The Plowman. And I mean, it would appear in my dreams. I would be talking to someone and I would see a piece of it. It haunted me, and it haunted me for years. And then I wrote a line in a different poem that I knew had come from that. And then in 2004, I got a chance to go back to Berlin with some high school students, and I went to see the print, and I took notes. And in 2016, I was back in Berlin as a writer-in-residence at Humboldt University, and that's when I started to take all these notes. So I was obsessed for years.
Can you now, at this point, begin to explain to yourself what kinds of things, what were the resonances? Because it was on a soul level.
It was on a soul level, and it was on a visceral level. It was in my gut. I felt like that there was a string drawing me to these works. But I do think it's related to the fact that my grandparents were working people. I have German heritage. I have a great-grandmother whose name I don't even know. It's not in the census records, though my great-grandfather's name is in the census record. So there are those emotional questions about heritage.
For people who don't know, a little bit about who she was and how she came to do this work.
Katie Colvitz was a very unusual young woman. She lived in Königsberg, which was Germany then, but is Kaliningrad, Russia now. And she grew up in a family where all the children were valued, including the girls. So her father saw her interest in art, sent her to study. And then at that point, painting was the thing. But her real talent was drawing. And that was never really recognized, but she began to translate it to making prints. So she worked with etching, which is a kind of, well, in an odd way, you're drawing, and then lithograph, and she did a print series when she was about 22 that won a major European award. So she was stamped young as a great artist, and she did not let it distract her. She kept doing the work.
We know if we think of Albrecht Dürer, we think mm-hmm. of a rabbit, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Did she do things like that before she got to the body of work that affected you?
I think she always did self-portraits. There's a history of her self-portraits. But she was particularly interested in the plight of the poor, women and children, in the fact that the Kaiser, the king at the time, was pretty much not attending to the economy in a way that allowed the poor what they needed to eat, to live, just very basics. So there was a split society, a lot of money in the hands of a few, and then the many. We see this happen in many nations. So she was very identified with the poor. And when she was a girl, 11, 12, and drawing, she would go down to the docks, and she would draw the peasant dock workers. And she says in a diary entry that she was just drawn to these bodies. She had to draw them. She loved them. And so when she decided to select an historical event and do a print series, she picked the Peasant Revolt, 1524, and stopped by the nobles in 1525, quite brutally, about 100,000 peasants dead across Central Europe, northern Italy and maybe a little bit into Switzerland and France. But that uprising had been inspired by the new idea that all humans were equal, Luther. So it was a real historical shift. So she shows the plights of the peasants.
Did she, in a realistic way, have human beings in fields having been massacred? Are there images? How did she decide to introduce us to these people and their struggle?
You know, it's such an interesting question because, no, there are not lots of dead images. However, she begins with the cause. So you see a man, actually it's two men, yoked to a plow, pulling the plow like a beast of burden. I myself saw a man in 2001 in Lithuania, yoked to a plow, plowing the field. So something has not changed. Then there's an extraordinary thing of a woman prone in a garden. The title is raped. So that's another cause, right? So that the peasant had no value, could be used for anything. Then there's the action of the peasants breaking into the nobles' vault, stealing not tools, but weapons to use as tools to free themselves. And then there's a downhill tumble where the peasants are running downhill, waving these swords and scabbards and pikes and maces. Here is the slaughter. There is a print called Schlachtfeld, Battlefield. It's all done in dark. You can barely see anything. And right in the foreground is a woman bending over something with a lantern. And then you see the tip back head, the open mouth of the corpse. And then finally you see men tied into a corral as though, but their hands are tied and they're corralled by rope. And they've been caught. And that's the end of it.
What was the reaction? What became of this series when she finished it?
When she finished this series, there was a great upheaval or some outrage. The Kaiser felt that this was not a suitable subject. He had felt that also about an earlier print series of hers. So, okay. And it caused an uproar. But at the same time, her craft was so brilliant. She was an extraordinary artist. And it was 1908. It was pre-Second World War. The economy was busted in Germany, and not just in Germany, but in other countries in Europe. And the war was beginning to stir. And so it was really an acclaimed series. And because it was print, it could be shown and duplicated. And by then, she was doing a lot of posters, too, like Feed the Poor.
What's fascinating is that you had this, as you suggest, gut-wrenching reaction, mm-hmm. this visceral reaction when you saw the plowman. Was that the plowman with the yoke?
Yes.
But at what point did you feel the urge or the impulse to respond or have a conversation with mm-hmm. this piece or her work?
There was a poem I wrote somewhere around 2008 or maybe 2007 I started it, and that had the phrase in it, man plowed fields. Now that was from Katie Kolbasis. And then I knew I had to pay attention to it. I didn't know what would happen, but I had to pay attention. But I was a teacher. I mean, I taught college and I taught workshops and I have a family. So how much time could I put into it? But it stayed with me. So then I began to research the history. So when I finally was able to get back and see the images not on my computer screen, I had a context.
When you use the word visceral in your reaction, is that how the poems start for you too?
It's true, they do. And there's a lot of physical images in my poems. And when I say images, I just mean body parts. You know, they're just there and they're not amputated. It's not gory, but everything I want my poems to be physical. I don't want them just to be, you know, in an ivory tower about ideas. I want them to be about lived life.
Do you have one for us?
I could read one. I could read a poem that comes from that print I talked about, Schlachtfeld. Slaughter field is a literal translation, but the nice translation is battlefield. My poem is called Night Vision. And in it, I just should say, I'm talking to Katie in all of these poems, as if I'm sitting beside her, though she's long dead, because I need her. I need to be in conversation. Night Vision. Black crayon. White paper of a stock as common as a field of wheat where bodies ripen where they fell. It's their first night dead. Your uncommon eye, Katie, searches the slaughter field for the tell of defeat. A shawled woman's hand, shoulder, her head's increase in weight as it droops over the dim lantern to examine the face she held dear when it was lit by more than a candle housed in smudged glass. This is the instant you look for, but wait is inert. You want the plunge into recognition, the flame, and the flame snuffed out. You have to see the print, I have to say. The print is extraordinary, so you can see it at the Sordoni Art Gallery at Wilkes.
And will your poem be next to it?
Oh, yes, and this is such a blessing for me. You know, sometimes something falls on you like blessing. And when Heather and I were talking, she said, but we could just put your poems next to the prints. And, you know, I heard her, but I couldn't hear her. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, on the wall. So now Katie Kovitz and I are truly in conversation. She's my art godmother. I'm sitting at her feet like a girl, and I'm saying, Katie, this is what I see. This is what I see.
There's a propulsion there so that we feel the plunge when you bring it to us in words. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't we imagine a field of dead bodies,
yeah,
of just stasis, inaction. It's over, finished. But what you do with helping us see through your own eyes and your own experience of Katie and then her experience of what she must be bringing to life is astonishing, because you take us and she takes us beyond where we want to go, I think, right?
Yes, I really think she does. And I think if she had done a print with really visible dead bodies, and in fact there are drawings, preliminary drawings, that she's playing with that idea, I think then we would have focused on the bodies and not on what is it like to be the living after the slaughter has happened. You know, in America, yes, we do feel that, but the battle has not been in our backyards. The bombs have not fallen on our acmes. So we don't have that experience in quite the same way.
The way you use words and the sound of words,
yeah,
also makes it very visceral, because it gets inside us.
Oh, my. Thank you.
Wouldn't you hope that?
Well, I would, yes. I mean, I really want a poem to be a sonic landscape or a soundscape. That's my hope.
We have a chance, actually, to hear you read. What will you do at Wilkes on Wednesday?
It's at 5 o'clock in the Sordoni Art Gallery. It's a free reading, and the prints are there. I'm not sure exactly how we'll do this, but I'll either be standing next to prints, or I'll be standing in one place and the people can look around. But you can actually hear the poems, and I will read them probably in the order in which Katie Kovitz ordered the prints. So we sort of get the scope of it. And then we'll open for conversation. The poems are incomplete. Some of them, they're too long. So I'll be reading a short version of them. You know, sort of, What do you call that? That little thing you serve between courses to clear your... I'll be the sorbet course between people looking at the prints.
Well, will you close with one more?
So I want to close with a whole poem because I really don't want to be giving you all fragments. And this is the moment that the peasants have taken the weapons, which now are the tools of their new lives. And so they're running downhill. And at the front is a young boy, barefoot, and his mouth wide open. And you know he's giving some sort of cry, and he's very excited. So this is called, the title of the print is Outbreak, and the poem is called Outbreak. Pouring downhill, a torrent of fury fleshed, wielding billhook, sword, pickaxe, mace, these men raised up from the brutes whose inheritance is burden, their hair like pennants flying. A boy leads, his feet old, calloused by 10 years in the fields, gleaning, but his voice young and his high call to battle a birth cry that draws the men into a future they cannot see. Their bloodlines smolder, holy fire breaking free.
A future they cannot see, but Kollwitz could, because she was working centuries later, and you leave it there.
Did you know when to stop? When you were...
I did, but now I'm going to confess something that listeners can't see. That poem is longer, but when I first wrote it, that's where it stopped. And that's what's hanging on the wall. And that's the direct relationship to the print. But then I had so much to say to Katie Kollwitz, so I went and did a second verse, which I'm not going to read. But come to the reading. I'll read it there.
Award-winning poet J.C. Todd from Philadelphia, speaking with us and reading from her work, work inspired by German artist Käthe Kollwitz. She is in residence at Wilkes University this week, and she will read from her work this afternoon. And the invitation suggests that you might want to gather at 4:30 at the Sordoni Art Gallery at Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre. There is an exhibition of the works from the Peasant War etching series by Käthe Kollwitz right now at the Sordoni Gallery, and that will run through March 1st. And this reading will accompany that and set the tone for the conversation that we just heard about, because there will be poems by J.C. Todd posted next to these images throughout the exhibition. The Sordoni Gallery is located at 141 South Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. For more information, on the web, wilkes.edu, wilkes.edu. And if you'd like to extend it, it's wilkes.edu/Sordoni Art Gallery, S-O-R-D-O-N-I, Sordoni Art Gallery. That's a free reading this afternoon at 4:30. At the Sordoni Art Gallery at Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre, featuring poet J.C. Todd reading from her work and reflecting on her experiences of interacting with Käthe Kollwitz. And the event is sponsored in part by the Wilkes University English Department and the Hamilton Dixon Fund that is so instrumental in bringing great writers to our region. For more information, on the web, wilkes.edu/Sordoni Art Gallery.